Thank you, everyone, for joining us for our special Palm Sunday service. We pray that you're well, and we hope that this service will be an encouragement to you. If this is your first time watching, we want to welcome you. We consider it a privilege to be with you. And for those who have been watching regularly, as this is now our fourth service, not being able to be together in the church, but we've been putting our services online and out there for a while. Thank you for joining with us. And we encourage you that you could share this invite right now as I'm speaking. You could go send this out so other people could join in and hear the music and hear the prayers and hear the message. And a special day like this, let me tell you, people need some hope right now. And Palm Sunday is a great day to share with people. And so may God bless you through this message. And now enjoy the beautiful songs of praise. And let's sing our hearts to the Lord together.
Hi, Crossroads Church. We're so glad that you can join us, and we're happy to be together to worship our Lord on this Palm Sunday. And, you know, normally we're together and we're having our palm as we leave the church, but, you know, let's make our homes, our cars, our living rooms, let's make that the church, where we're praising our Lord because He is our Messiah. He's our Savior. So we're singing at home. We're singing Hosanna. And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 to 11. It says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and He sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and the crowds that went before Him that followed Him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when He entered Jerusalem, the whole city stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. And they were saying in these verses, they were saying, Hosanna. And that word literally means, Lord, save me, rescue me. They were saying and speaking to His Lordship, to the fact that He was the Messiah that had come, and they were desperate for His salvation. And yet, in a few days, they went and turned on Him. They were swept up in what was going on around them, the opinions of others. But let not that not be said of us, that we proclaim He is our Messiah. He is where our salvation comes from. So we sing Hosanna. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord.
Turn to You.
presence, where we're at right now. Oh, we welcome him. And it's because of Christ. It's in knowing Christ. It's knowing him, knowing the gift of his salvation. I've noticed that there's always something to be thankful for. We belong to him. You know, he's our good shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture, and his protection is ours. His guidance and direction is ours, and his deliverance is ours. And it will be that way forever. He is the Lord now, and he is the Lord forever. Just think about that, that we will be worshiping him for all eternity. So we thank him today for the gift of our salvation, for his protection and his deliverance. Thank you, Jesus.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King.
In that song, by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. You know, it's his grace that walks with us each day, and it's Him that has promised to His children that He, our God, the God who created all things, will never leave His children. He's with us. And His love was displayed for all of us to see on that cross. The love of God shown through Jesus Christ in that sacrifice that was made. He took on our sin. He defeated death. He conquered the grave. So it's in Jesus that we can say our fear is gone. It's in knowing all that was conquered in the death of Jesus, in the resurrection of Jesus. He came to bring peace, and He came to bring hope, an eternal hope. So let's walk in His peace. Let's worship instead of worry.
Good morning, everyone. We're so glad that you're joining us today on this special day, Palm Sunday. We wanted to share with you some important announcements. First of all, it's so very important that we stay connected. And one of the ways you could do that, not only just when you're here at church, but even online, you'll see the link pop up, is that we have this online connection card. And that's a way for you not only to let us know that you're here, but you could also update any information that you have, especially if you haven't submitted your email yet to the church, just so we could stay connected with you. We also have the opportunity for you to fill out a prayer card right there online, the comfort of your own home. And then we'll share those with the prayer team if you'd like. If it's something that is private and just for myself to see, that's fine as well. But these are two extremely important ways to stay connected, the connection card and the prayer card. We also want to encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to download the church's app, Crossroads Church Staten Island, in your app stores or the Google Play. And then this way, you could have a direct connection and get alerts as they come out from the church. It's also a great way to share information about the church. We also have our social media, the Facebook, and you could also take advantage of Twitter, Instagram, and of course YouTube. All great ways to remain connected as well as to share the message. And this is a week like no other, because as we come up to Easter, more and more people are looking for ways to connect with God normally, but especially now. So with that said, I want to remind you of our schedule this week. We're going to be providing video devotions, and I'm going to focus my attention starting on, starting Sunday with today with the Palm Sunday message, of course, but then throughout the week, we're going to have different passages leading up to the cross, and so you don't want to miss that. Check that out and then send that out. And then, of course, Good Friday, we will have a service. We will broadcast it to you. Another great opportunity for you to be encouraged. 7 o'clock on Friday. You don't want to miss that. A special time as we look at the significance of the cross and the crucifixion. And then Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. You know what? The crisis and the coronavirus, it cannot stop the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate it every Sunday. We're going to zero in on it, obviously, with the national celebration of Easter. And so do not miss that opportunity to connect as we celebrate that way. Now, at this time, I want to thank all of you who have been faithful with your giving. We're now on week 4 of doing church this way. Thank you for your prayers and your support. And at this time, as we get ready to pray for our offering, I just want you to know how much we love you, how much we miss being in person together, but we're going to continue to trust God. And right now, we're going to pray and thank God for the offering. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all that you have given to us. We count it a privilege to submit prayer requests, to be together at church, and now to give. We pray, O God, that you would bless the gift and bless the giver, replenish that which has been sacrificially given to you. We sow these prayers in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we're thankful for this opportunity that we have to praise you in the midst of all that's going on, God, to look to you and to sing and worship you through our worries, through our circumstances, Lord God, because we know you don't change. Help us to worship through our worries. Proclaim your name, O God. Amen. Lord. We thank you that we can put this time to aside to worship you, to turn to you, O God. And Lord, we're grateful for the truths that we're singing, that we can count on you, we can count on your promises, we can count on the fact that you don't leave us, Lord. You don't leave us to figure it out on our own. And we're so thankful that you went in on that donkey, that you knew exactly what you were doing in those days, Lord. You were taking steps to the cross, where you would die and sacrifice it all for us sinners. We're thankful, God. And we know in the midst of everything that's going on that there is truly always something to be thankful for, and that is you, Jesus. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for your saving grace. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for your protection, Lord. And we're thankful for our eternal hope that's in you. So now open our eyes, our ears, our minds, our souls to hearing your word on this Palm Sunday. What you have to say to us, oh God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, welcome everyone who is watching at home and those who are listening on AM 570 and FM 102.3. What a joy it is to be with you on this Palm Sunday 2020, as well as have some time to share some encouragement with you amidst all the adversity that we have been enduring together. In our last message, we talked about remaining calm in a crisis, and we said that a crisis is a time of difficulty, sometimes extensive difficulty, that requires you and I to make rapid decisions. Well, we noted that when we trust God with our choices in our crisis, that decision is essential, not optional, because doing so produces an unmistakable calmness that is not only needed, but it is something that actually refreshes our soul. And so today we want to continue talking about how to get through our crisis by seeing God clearly in our crisis. But before we do so, let's note the different stages of a crisis. You might find yourself in one of these areas right now. Certainly our country, our city, our communities are all experiencing a range of emotions, but these are the different stages of a crisis. Take notice of this. First, I like to call this the shrug it off stage. This is when we deny or we're in some type of denial that something is wrong. And we just shrug it off like somebody just shrugs their shoulders, that no big deal, this is not something to be concerned about. I think a lot of people were saying that at the end of February, even as late as the beginning of March, but I think we're past that stage right now. There's also what we would call the schedule interruption stage. That's when all of a sudden action is taken and there is major disruption to our regular, normal pace of life. And we see that very clearly right now. Millions of Americans are working from home. Schools have kids have been sent home doing distant learning. Millions of students across the United States. Here in New York, 1.1 public school children alone, plus parochial schools. And so that is a schedule interruption. Whether it be if you take the Staten Island Ferry, that's on limited service back to the once an hour. Buses, trains, schedules interrupted. Your own schedule, maybe you're going to the doctor, going to the gym. Only essential surgeries, no elective surgeries could be done. Schedules have been interrupted. And then as we're out of the shrug it off stage and now we're full blown into the schedule interruption stage, there's another crisis part that we want to take notice of. And that's what I call the suspicion stage, where people begin to go, you know, what's going on? Is this because of, they don't like the president, or they do like the president? Did China do this? Did somebody else do this? What's really going on? And suspicion starts to set over because we can't really wrap our heads around how dramatic this situation is. And so there's the suspicion stage. And then once we clear that stage and orders are given to stay in, to do social distancing, people then become stubborn. And so I call that the stubborn stage, where I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. They say you can't go out. You know what? I'm going to go play touch football in Bryant Park. We saw that on the news. I'm going to go hang out in crowds, and I'm going to play basketball, and I'm going to do whatever I want with groups of people because I'm stubborn, because it's really, to me, I'm not going to get it. I'm invincible. And early on, we heard that only if you're a certain age and above, those are the people who are really at risk. But as we know, being a couple weeks into this crisis, that sadly is not true. And so there's the stubbornness stage. And then there's a stage that I think everybody is beginning to fall into, if not really eye deep in it right now, and that is the stress stage. And you begin to have stress over, you know, am I going to get this? What if this happens? Okay, I went here. You start retracing your steps. Or I work with this person. I heard they had. I was at this conference. This person that I knew at the store. And you begin to start connecting the dots and playing detective. And you get stressed out over it. But you also get stressed out over the financial picture. Many of us right now, as you're listening or watching, maybe your income has been paused. Maybe there's been some financial pressures that have been put upon you. And so that brings a certain amount of stress. And then on top of that, if you already struggle with any negativity, with any anxiety or depression, all of this isn't going to help it. The crisis, if it's not handled properly, will only elevate and add more stress onto you. And then that puts us into this next stage, which is really, a relevant stage for many people right now. And that's the struggling stage. And that is when we begin to deal with reality. It's no longer something that we're shrugging off. We're no longer being stubborn. We're no longer, you know, just focused on suspicion and bunny trails of who caused this and who did that. None of that matters anymore. What matters right now is I got to pay my mortgage. I got to pay my rent. I got to put food on my table. I haven't seen my family. I haven't seen my grandkids, my children. Are they going to be okay? This one's sick. What if they get it? And so we're in that struggle stage. Now, all of these stages are very real. I like to think of them as a clear and present danger. But there is a greater place for you to arrive, and it's the last stage of a crisis, and it's where we want everybody to be, and that is to see God. You want to see God clearly in your crisis. You know, the Bible has so much to say about seeing God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 17, we're told, Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes because they see." He goes on to say, "I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it." You know, Jesus talks so much to his disciples about believing and seeing and that connection. And wouldn't you know that God, throughout all of history, as has been recorded in the Bible and in world history, God has made his love, his peace, and his mercy on display for all to see, especially in a crisis. And Palm Sunday puts all of that into perspective for us, doesn't it? Because on Palm Sunday, Jesus was entering the holy city, and on display for all to see was the real hope that we need, the real victory, the real comfort, the real peace. We saw all of God's promises and presence right there, riding in on the donkey, as it were, into the holy city. Let's look what it says here in Mark's gospel, the first three verses of chapter 11, as it chronicles Palm Sunday that's recorded in all four gospels. It says, "When they approached Jerusalem." Now, in your Bibles, or if you have your notes with you, you could circle "they," because I want to zone in on a particular character that's in this group that's following in with Jesus. But here it says, "When they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives," it says, "he sent two of his disciples." In verse 2, it says this. He said, "Go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a colt," it's a donkey, "tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say to them, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here right away.'" Now, we know that's a quotation, actually. It's a fulfillment of prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. But Jesus requesting to ride in on a donkey. This was certainly not a coronation of a king, although the people, some that were in this crowd, as we look at the "they," obviously Some of the crowd looked at Jesus as some type of Jewish activist. Some looked at him as a potential king, a monarch, if you will, somebody who could overthrow the yoke of the Roman Empire, someone who could take away the brutality of Roman taxation and everything that went with it. But obviously, Jesus didn't come to do any of that. Some looked at Jesus, and as silly as it sounds, but he was the God of their belly, feeding 20,000 people, which included women and children. And so people wanted to make him king because he was the baker they always wanted, perhaps. But he didn't come to be a baker. He didn't come just to fill people physically. He was the bread of life. And so as you begin to look at this, the disciples are there as well. And so they're seeing all this. But there's also some other characters that are there. And these are characters, I believe, who are seeing God clearly right now on this first Palm Sunday. And they are seeing God clearly prior to this day. And they saw God clearly in their crisis because that's how they came to follow the Lord. And one of the they that I want to focus our attention on today is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, we're told in Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel, as well as Mark's gospel, chapter 10, verse 46, where we will start now, is the story of a blind man. Actually, it was two blind men. Mark gives us just Bartimaeus by name. Matthew and Luke give us two men that were healed of blindness, but we're given the name Bartimaeus here, and we're going to look into this in just a moment. But we see Bartimaeus following Jesus, and after he receives his healing of blindness, and there's no doubt that he's a part of that crowd on Palm Sunday. But he isn't looking to Jesus for Jesus to do whatever he wants for him. He is seeing Jesus for the salvation and for the deliverance that only he could bring. And right now in a crisis, that's what you and I need. And we need to see God clearly right now. We need to see, what does God expect of me? What does God want of me? How do I keep on keeping on? How don't I stay stuck in those other six areas of the stages of crisis? Or how do I get to the see God stage of the crisis? Well, let's talk about that right now and look at it through the eyes of right now. What we're going to read is blind Bartimaeus. It says this in verse 46 of Mark 10. It says, as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, it says, a large crowd, which included Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. Now, this scene is set. They're on their way eventually to get to the holy city. Jericho, if you will, served as a gateway into the holy city, where it was located geographically speaking. And it's important for us to realize that we're getting ready to have the Passover feast, so you're going to have an enormous increase in population. It's like when the Super Bowl goes to a city or the Olympics come somewhere, that you're just going to have, not only going to have the people who live in the area, you're going to have a swell of tourists, a swell of people who are connected with the event. And so when it came to the Passover, it drew incredible crowds. And this is a great place for a beggar to be right now because people are on their way to a religious festival. And just like you and I, they're thinking, you know, let me do a few good deeds on my way. Okay, here's a beggar. Let me throw him a few coins so I can alleviate some of that guilt I have. And so this was a good place for a beggar to be. But little did this blind beggar know, he was going to get more than some loose change. And so we're told his name is Bartimaeus, and he is the son of Timaeus. Now, the fact that he's named helps us to perhaps draw the conclusion that he became somebody who was prominent in the early church. You know, if the Bible contained every little detail about what took place in the life of Christ and everything that happened after the resurrection of Christ, the establishment of the church, the book would be too big to carry around. And so certain information is here, and certain information will be revealed in heaven. None of it will contradict itself. It will all be in perfect harmony. Nevertheless, Bartimaeus must have become this prominent figure in the early church. He's named here in Mark's gospel, and we go on to hear that he's a blind beggar sitting by the road. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was coming, he began to cry out. Now, you might want to underline that word, cry out. That word cry out is used in other places, and it speaks of like a woman when she is giving birth and she's yelling because of those labor pains. That is some You'll never forget those sounds. Now, I remember when Joseph was born years ago, on June 23rd, 2008, we, at the old St. Vincent's Hospital, now Richmond Memorial, we were in one of the birthing rooms, and there were loud screams coming. And I remember asking one of the nurses, why is that woman screaming? Now, obviously, women scream when they give birth, but she was screaming like she was being tortured and in excruciating pain. She says, well, she's having a natural birth. I said, oh, boy, okay, and so we'll pray for her. So Joseph was born, and that woman, thankfully, delivered a healthy baby as well, to my knowledge at the time. Then several years later, at the old Babies R Us on Richmond Avenue, I'm in the store, and I'm picking up some stuff for the boys, and I hear a loud scream, and a lady yelled, Daniel, and she yelled out for her son. And sometimes, like kids do, they take off and they do what they want to do. And so she was actually in front of me at the register, and I tapped her on the shoulder. I said, excuse me, ma'am, I'm sorry to bother you, but did you give birth on June 23rd, 2008 at St. Vincent's Hospital? She looked me square in the eye and said, who are you? And I said, no, I said, I don't mean to scare you or startle you. I said, but please, did you give birth that day? And she says, as a matter of fact, I did. And there he is running around. I said, well, I know the feeling. I said, well, my wife Jennifer and I were a few rooms over, and I believe I heard you screaming because you gave birth naturally. You don't forget those sounds. And certainly when somebody's crying out in desperation, like this man was, you don't forget it. And he cried out and he said, Jesus. Now listen to this. This man might be blind physically, but what's about to come out of his mouth tells you that he's not blind spiritually. He says, Jesus, Son of David. Now right there, that is a messianic reference right there. And so the fact that he, once he heard that Jesus was coming, and now he cries out, Jesus, Son of David. Now listen to his prayer. Have mercy on me. You don't get any better than that with a prayer, by the way. That's the best way to pray. Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. That is exactly how we are to pray. Not only does this man, his ears pop up when he hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth, he gives Jesus the correct messianic title, and he goes on to say, have mercy on me. And he's yelling this. This is very beautiful. Now, he's not alone. There's a crowd of people here who are coming to celebrate the Passover. So you would assume, it's reasonable for us to say, it's not a leap, that these people that were around him were religious people, that they should have what? Compassion on a blind beggar. Not only throw him a few coins, but have compassion on him. Well, let's see how much compassion they had. Verse 48. Many warned him to keep quiet. Now, the other Gospels say that they basically yelled at him and told him to zip it. But he was crying out all the more, have mercy on me, Son of David. He's in desperation right now. He's blind. There was a study done in America that out of all the disabilities that you could be stricken with, what was the one that you wouldn't want to be? And you know what the number one was on the poll? Blindness. Nobody wants to be blind. Nobody wants to go from being able to see to being in darkness. Now, people had all types of blindness as we study in the Bible. Some were born with it. They had some type of disease at birth. But not Bartimaeus, because we find out that he asked Jesus, we see, to regain his sight, which means at some point he lost his sight. And so he's living out a crisis right now. And that's what a crisis is. A crisis is you're in a normal situation, then something happens, and now you're not in a normal situation anymore. You know, it's bright lights and things are fine, and all of a sudden you're in a dark place. Bartimaeus is literally in a dark place right now. And notice all the discouragement that's coming at him. He has a discouragement of his disability, and he has the discouragement now of these disgruntled people that want him to pipe down. I want you to jot this down because I think this will be important to know. If you're going to see God in your crisis, one of the very first things you got to do, because it's a reality of life, you have to fight through discouragement. It's going to come. Again, it's going to come in the form of your trial. It's going to come in the form of temptation. It's going to come in the form of a tribulation. It's going to be because of some type of calamity or crisis like we're in right now. It's discouraging for anybody to say that they don't have any fear, that they're never discouraged about this. You know, they're lying, to be quite honest with you. In the back of our minds, if we face reality, we have to understand that this is a part of life. And not only are you going to have situations, but you're going to have some strange people along the way, we'll call them special people, that really try to discourage you, even from God. Look at this man crying out, "Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David, have mercy on me." You would think they would be picking him up, propping him on their shoulders. But no, there's always going to be discouraging people. You know, I heard this story about a salesman who went to get a haircut. And his barber really was kind of known around town as the discouraging barber. And so he sat down in the barber's chair and he began to chit-chat as you normally do. And the barber asked him, "Why are you getting this haircut?" And he goes, "Well, I'm going on a special trip to Rome for business. I'm hoping to make great sales there." He goes, "Well, Rome?" He goes, "Well..." He goes, "You're going there?" He goes, "You know, the Italians, they like to talk a lot, but they don't like to buy a lot, so I don't..." You know, he started to discourage him about that. And the man goes, "Okay." He goes, well, tell me what airline you're flying on." And he told him what airline. And then the barber goes, "Oh, that airline, they're always late. And you'd be lucky if they gave you peanuts on there." And so the man goes, "Oh, geez," as he's getting his haircut, he's thinking, "Wow, this guy's one piece of good news after another." And then he says, "Well, what hotel are you staying at there?" And he told him the name of the hotel. He goes, "Oh, that hotel is terrible. They don't even give you, you know, hot pressed towels, and they don't even turn the bed over. You got to pay extra for that." He goes, "That hotel," and he goes, "I went there, the room's not ready. Oh boy, that's terrible." Now the man's going, "Oh geez," and he goes, "Well, what else are you going to do when you're there?" And he says, "Well, I'm hoping to have audience with the Pope. I want to meet the Pope and have a private meeting with him." And the barber goes, "Oh boy, you know, now you've really blown it. You think you're going to go have a meeting with the Pope? You're ridiculous. You know, this is..." He goes, "Why don't you just cancel the trip and go someplace else? Talk about, you know, being a downer." Well, the haircut finishes. He pays the barber, gives him a tip nevertheless, even though now he's discouraged, and he goes on his trip. Well, he comes back, and several weeks later goes for a haircut. He plops down in the chair, and the barber goes, "Well, did you go on the trip?" He says, "As a matter of fact, I did." He goes, "Oh, you did, did you? Tell me about it." And the man, the salesman, begins to tell him, "Well, I went there, and the Italian people were great. Not only did they buy everything I had, I have to make another trip in a few months to fulfill inventory promises." "Wow, is that so? Well, how was the plane? It must have been late, right?" He goes, "No, actually, we got there 20 minutes ahead of time, and they upgraded my seat to first class." And he goes, "Oh, really, is that so?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, well, you know, you must have not liked the hotel." He goes, "Well, as a matter of fact, I really enjoyed my stay there. As soon as I got out of the car, they greeted me. They took my bags. I had my room right away. They gave me an extended checkout. It couldn't have been better. One of the best experiences I ever had. I travel on the road a lot." And so the barber goes, "Okay, well, you know what? That sounds good, but you probably didn't get to see the Pope." He goes, "No, I did get to see the Pope. And I'm so glad I got that haircut, you know, I guess, but I went to go see the Pope." And he goes, "Well, how was it?" He goes, "Well, I went to meet him, and the security ushered me down this long, beautiful hallway with a red carpet, and I came to him, and I knelt down before him, and I wanted him to bless me, and he put his hand on my head, and he stopped, and he started to feel my head, and he said, 'Son,' he goes, 'before I bless you, I got to ask you, where'd you get such a bad haircut?'" Well, I share that tongue-in-cheek because sometimes when you're so busy discouraging others, you can't do your job the right way. The barber messed up, and the Pope noticed it, I guess, when he was given his blessing. These people are trying to discourage old Bartimaeus. You got to fight through your discouragement. You got to keep crying out to the Lord, regardless of how you feel right now. The news will discourage you. You know, it just seems like, you know, it's one horror story, sensational message after another. And then the blaming. This network blames this one, and this network blames that one. Be careful that you don't get dragged into all of that, please, because it will get in the way of your prayer life. Look what Psalm 86, verse 6 says. "Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea." Notice this. For mercy. What a beautiful connection. Prayer and mercy. Right now, we need to be asking God for mercy upon our city, upon our homes, upon our families. We need it. And we have to fight through discouragement. Proverbs 15:4 says, gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. These people are griping and they're complaining about this man that he's crying out. But that's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to cry out to God. We need to do it. Listen, there's always going to be people who oppose things. Samaritan's Purse, God bless that wonderful organization. They arrived here in New York earlier this week and they set up a 60-plus bed mobile hospital right there in Central Park by Mount Sinai. And you had certain paid elected officials in the city saying that they're going to watch them closely about their message because of certain views that they have. Talk about your eyes being off the ball. Let's prioritize our concerns over the people who are sick with COVID-19 right now. Let's thank God for anybody that comes from anywhere to want to jump into the epicenter of this crisis. You're always going to have people complaining and griping. We got to fight through all of that, and we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Although Bartimaeus is physically blind, his eyes are very much so on Jesus. Right now, the crisis may be blinding you right now, but you could still see God clearly. Bartimaeus is in the darkness, physically, emotionally, but as we can see, not spiritually. He's fighting through discouragement, and you and I need to do the same. It continues on now because something pretty amazing is going to happen. It says, Jesus stopped and said. See, that prayer gets, I just want you to know that. That type of prayer gets the attention of God. You know, God, give this one a flat tire, help me to hit the lotto, give me this. Those prayers, I don't know, those might go in the wait or never going to happen category. But Lord, show me mercy, have mercy on me, son of David. Oh boy, those are good prayers. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Go get him, in other words. So they called him, and the blind, and this is what happens. And they said to the blind man, have courage and get up. He's calling you. So have courage is the opposite of what? Discouragement. Who's the they? You know, it's ironic. Maybe it was some of the same people that were discouraging him, certainly perhaps some of the disciples, because they're very active in serving the Lord. But nevertheless, notice it says have courage because you've had nothing but discouragement in your life. And even these people are discouraging you. But don't worry, Jesus has heard your prayer. You have courage. Get up. He's calling for you. So now notice verse 50. He threw off his coat. Now don't miss that. His coat symbolized everything of who he was. It was like his house because he's a blind beggar. He's begging in the streets, homeless. That was his house. That was his covering. That was really his source of income because that helped him to stay outside to go beg for money. He threw it off. Look at the faith of this man. He's thinking, I'm not going to need this anymore. He threw it off because he heard, no doubt, of the miracles of Jesus. And it says this, he jumped up. That's how we got to be. We got to jump to the things of God. And he came to Jesus, and then Jesus answered him, now what do you want me to do for you? He gave him a blank check. The man could have asked for anything. He could have said, you know what, I want to do the Macarena or something. No, he didn't ask that. He says, what do you want me to do for you? And then listen to this, Rabboni. Now, you might want to circle that. It means teacher, precious master. I mean, look at the reverence of this blind beggar who apparently could see who Jesus is very clearly. I want to see. Now, some translations say, I want to see again, which is it's conveying to us as it's transliterated over from the Greek. He wasn't born blind. At some point, whatever happened, an accident, an illness, he went from his normal life to being in a crisis of darkness. I want to see again. And right now, you might be saying that. I want to see my family again. I want to see, you know, happier days again. I want to see a regular routine again. And all these things. And I think that's normal to long and have those aspirations. But there's an even greater aspiration that we want to have, that we want to see God. We want to know what God's plan is. I want to see, he said. And then Jesus said, go, your faith has saved you. How beautiful is that? Your faith, because the man's faith, look, Jesus, have mercy on me, son of David, Rabboni. His faith is where it needs to be. Now, this brings up a tactical, strategical point that you and I could use in our life as we want to see God clearly in our crisis. You might want to take notice of this and jot this down. Focus on gaining traction from your distraction. Focus on gaining traction from your distraction. Right now, the crisis is a distraction for all of us. I've heard people say, you know, they post these things or they tell these funny, they try to think they're funny that, hey, you know what? If, you know, either people are going to get divorced or they're going to develop a drinking habit, you know, by being home. And that's such a negative way to look at things. You know what? Thank God you have more family time. Thank God you have a family to go home to. Some people don't have a family to go home to. Oh, you know what? I got to wash my hands every 20 seconds. This is terrible. Thank God you have clean running water. Oh, boy, you know, we got to be hunkered down and I got to eat this and that. Thank God you have food in your cupboards. Hey, thank God you have a home to be in. You got to gain traction. One of the best ways to gain traction is to start being thankful for what you have. That will help you gain traction in your life. Now, don't just limit it to the crisis. You might have other areas in your life that you're trying to overcome and get stronger in. It could be a temptation, a bad habit, could be a bad attitude. It could be a medical issue in your life. One of the best ways, one of the best medicines for you emotionally, mentally, relationally, financially, is gratitude, is thankfulness. Start right there. But it doesn't stop there. Take notice of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:8. One of the Beatitudes, one of the ways of happiness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Notice the rest of it. You could say it right where you are right now. For they shall see God. That's a promise. You might want to write that next to that verse somewhere. That's a promise. Blessed are the pure in heart. And the word pure means to catheterize, to make pure, to clean. And when your heart is clean, you could see God. The blind man, Bartimaeus, prior to his meeting with Jesus, he was blind physically, but apparently his heart was clean spiritually. And so he saw exactly who Jesus was. My prayer in this crisis right now is that you and I could say the same. Right now, you can gain some traction from this distraction by confessing your heart over to God. Listen, maybe you've been a failure. You keep messing up. You're wondering, either Jesus, take me home, or I needed a miracle, but you have this thought in your flesh. Well, guess what? You can gain traction from your distraction right now. You could use, God could use this in your life right now by just emptying your heart day after day in confession. You know, recently, Jen was using my computer, my MacBook, and she said, and it's an older one, so it's a little slow sometimes compared to hers, but she said, you know, you got to clean your screen. And I didn't even notice it, but my screen was really, it was dirty. And so I used this cleaner that I had, and I took the dry cloth there, and I rubbed it, and I went to bed. The next day, when I turned on my computer, after rubbing it hard and putting the spray on it, I kid you not, it felt like I had a new computer. I mean, it was so bright. I was like, what's going on here? Is it on too bright? No, it's not. It's on the setting I always have it on. And everything just looked differently. And I was more inspired to work. I felt more creative. And all of a sudden, it just looked better. It worked better, it seemed like. And that, it's going to be 6 years old. It's a dinosaur and Apple technology terms. But nevertheless, everything just felt better about it. Even the keyboard, just everything. And all because I just cleaned it and I could see better. And I think life works that way. I think we could all relate. When we're not walking with God, when our fellowship isn't right with Him, when we have a filthy mouth, a filthy heart, when we're sinning and we're trying to get away with it, well, guess what? We can get away with anything, really. But at the end of the day, God sees it. And we know it. And the guilt far outweighs that temptation that's been slithered our way. And after we give into it and we start rolling around in it like a pig, it clouds our vision of God. It's hard to see God, not even just in a crisis, but on a great day when our heart isn't right with Him. And so what am I saying? Well, you don't got to go buy any cleaner and spray your eyes, but come before the Lord and confess your heart to him. And he will clean your heart. He's faithful to do it. The other way to gain traction, in addition to being thankful and coming to God in confession and repentance, is to know that God has a purpose for this crisis in your life. He didn't inject anybody with anything, but he promises to use all things together for the good of those who love him. Look what it says in Paul's letter to the Philippian church, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to know, my brothers, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. What is Paul talking about here? Where is he writing from? A cruise ship? The deck of a cruise ship? Is he on a beach somewhere? No, he's in a Roman prison. He's what we would call quarantined. Approximately, and again, people differ on it. The length of time is not important. Maybe it was 18 months, 2 years at this particular juncture. We're not 100% sure. Maybe it was longer. Don't get caught up in that ancillary fact, but focus on the fact that he was quarantined for an extended period of time, longer than you and I have been right now. But nevertheless, he saw his quarantine in the prison as an opportunity, and he was with people every day. And the Bible makes very clear when you study the book of Philippians, the book of Acts, and you marry them two together, that there wasn't a guard in that entire prison that didn't hear about Jesus Christ. And the type of arrest that he had was that he had somebody chained to him. He was leading people to Christ left and right. His quarantine became his method of gaining traction from his distraction. See, the devil will use a crisis to distract you and I. But by God's grace, we could use it to gain traction, to grow closer to him, to be more appreciative of our family, of our church. So many people go, man, I miss church. Well, let's hope that translates into faithful attendance, faithful when we come back. Let's not treat church like a, you know, if I have a time for it, if I could get to my small group, if I could get to prayer. When we come back to meet, by God's grace, when that time comes, let us be committed to the body of Christ in person, not just in spirit or in theory. Paul was quarantined, but he used it for the glory of God. How much more should we be doing that as well? And so Bartimaeus, physically blind at one point, but not spiritually blind. Now God gives him this amazing miracle, and the man is healed. Now, before we go on and wrap this up today, here in this Palm Sunday, Bartimaeus in the crowd, I just want you to understand how amazing this miracle is. First of all, on record, this is the most recorded disability that's healed in the Bible. And while I'm on that point of healing, I just wanted to take an attendance check. Where are all of the healers on TV right now? I just want to know where they are, that are on the radios, that are on the TVs, saying that they could heal people at a certain time before COVID-19, shouldn't they be busy right now healing people? Well, maybe perhaps because they're in a commission business, and I'm not talking about a calling, I'm talking about making money. See, Jesus is the real healer. God still heals today. He could heal people of corona right now. He could heal people of blindness and anything else that's going on. But our faith is in the Lord, not in man. It's important to realize how incredible this miracle is. First of all, think of the eye for a second. I was doing some research. The retina, think about the retina for a second. It has 110 million receptors comprised of cones and rods. Amazing. That radioactive waves are sent to the retina that send a chemical to the brain to process what we're seeing. Now, why is that important? Because on the mission field, or you know, here in the United States, if somebody has a corrective blindness that could be operated on in the hospital, even though they have repaired the cornea or they've repaired some nerve ending in the eye, that person still has to go through therapy because horizontally and vertically and diagonally, the brain calculates that in an incredible way at an incredible rate. Notice that when Bartimaeus was healed, not only was his vision healed, but his brain was healed. this is truly amazing. This is the God we serve. He is able to heal this way. And so, who wouldn't follow Jesus after that? Now, I will say this, that the first person he sees is Jesus. So after that, it kind of goes, down, but not really, because he's going to see some incredible things this week. Look what it says now in verse 52, the second part of verse 52. Immediately, he could see. Underline that. His brain was healed immediately. I mean, it's astonishing when you consider the complexity of the human eye and how it works with the brain and how there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of messages that we don't even understand that are being sent from the retina to the brain for us to see. And this word here, immediately, you might want to underline that. That's not just in there. Immediately he could see. No therapy, no eye patches. Immediately he could see, and he began to follow Jesus. How beautiful is that? On the road. And this road would lead into the holy city. This road would lead to the donkey, the beast of burden that would carry Jesus, who would bear my burden and your burden. He believed, and then he saw physically. And that's Jesus' order, isn't it? In John chapter 11, verse 40, it said, Jesus said to Martha, now, Martha, remember Martha, her brother Lazarus had died. And then look what Jesus said to her after Lazarus had died. When Jesus said, roll the stone away, we want to go in there. She goes, it's going to stink in there. He's been dead for a couple days now. And we're going to look at this story a little bit more in conjunction with Resurrection Sunday next week. But Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would what? See the glory of God. You got to believe, and then you're going to see. Right now, in our crisis right now, we got to believe so we could see. We got to believe the promise of God. We got to believe the presence of God. We got to believe in the power and the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all human understanding. We need that right now. We have to follow Jesus this way. But a lot of times we think, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm just going to coast in this life. It's going to be easy peasy. Everything's going to go my way. You might want to jot this down. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus's uphill directions. Everything in life that is significant is an uphill climb, isn't it? Everything. Success in business, raising children, a marriage, getting over your old habits. Everything. You can line it up. Nothing is downhill that's important, really. It'd be great if we could just coast. I know there are people making a mint on telling you, you just trust God and you're going to coast through life. The Bible doesn't teach that. Following Jesus is an uphill challenge. And there will be a lot of directions that call you to go uphill. And for Bartimaeus, this literally would be uphill. He would watch. Think about all the things that now blind Bartimaeus can now see. He's not blind anymore. And guess who else is in this crowd? Dead Lazarus, who's not dead anymore. And they're following Jesus, and it's going to lead right into Palm Sunday. And then the Passion Week. And then Bartimaeus is going to see the crucifixion. And then in 3 days, he's going to see Jesus defeat sin and death once and for all. Bartimaeus is going to see all of that. How beautiful for you and I to take hold of that. Follow Jesus' directions. We need that good news right now. There's plenty of bad news to go around. Speaking of which, I think there's been plenty of stories of people price gouging in the news. You heard about those brothers from Tennessee trying to scoop up 17,000 items of hand sanitizer and gloves. And you have somebody coughing on an FBI agent while they're trying to price gouge. And you hear all these stories and you go, we tend to focus on that. But I wanted to bring your attention to a story I heard out of Belgium, and it was of a 90-year-old woman. And this 90-year-old woman, she had COVID-19. She refused treatment. And you know why she refused treatment? She told the doctors, let the ventilator you were going to use on me, use it on a younger person. And she died. It's been said that we live temporarily through what we get, but we live eternally through what we give, or memory for that matter. Bartimaeus, following Jesus' uphill directions, ultimately he was following the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. See, that's the good news. The good news isn't getting. The good news isn't price gouging. The good news is giving like this woman. And the great news is that Jesus gave his life for me and for you. And truly, that's what Palm Sunday was throwing into full swing, that the Savior was coming. And blind Bartimaeus, who's not blind anymore, is seeing all of this. He sees very clearly. You know, a lot of the same people that were chanting Hosanna that day would be chanting crucify him. You know why? Because they were a part of a religious parade. And how many religious parades go on Sunday after Sunday where we worship entertainment and the show and not the Savior? And maybe with this pause of meeting together, maybe all of us collectively could take inventory of why we meet and why we come to church. It's to celebrate the resurrected Son of God, that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not about us getting something. It's about us giving something. Bartimaeus gave of himself now to follow Jesus. And I believe that Bartimaeus, not only was he in the crowd, but he said those words of praise on Palm Sunday, and you could bet the house he meant it. Listen to what it says here as we wrap this up in Mark 11, 8 through 10, the Palm Sunday account. Many people spread their clothes on the road, and others spread leaf branches, that's the palm branches, cut from the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Save us, Lord, in the highest. My friends, Bartimaeus meant every word of that, because long before he had his sight returned, he saw Jesus very clearly in his crisis. My prayer is that the same could be said for you, that blessed are you that you see. Blessed are you that you have a hope in God beyond your hardship. Blessed are you that you see the Savior, that even though all around you things might be unsteady, that you are not stuck in any of those other stages of the crisis, that you're in the place where you need to be, that I'm seeing God, I'm seeing his hand, I'm seeing his blessing, and in humble expectation, I'm trusting in him for greater days to come, because I'm a child of God, because I'm saved and I'm blood bought. My friends, Bartimaeus saw that. My prayer is that we would see that. And then by doing so, on this Palm Sunday and every day after, we will see Jesus very clearly, even in the midst of our crisis. That is God's heart for you and I. Let us fight through whatever encouragement that is coming against us. Let us focus on gaining traction from the distractions. And even though it's uphill, even though obedience doesn't make sense, even though God will even challenge your own comfort at times, like Bartimaeus, immediately follow Jesus. He's given you spiritual sight. He's taken us, as the great hymn says, that we've been set free, that I was blind, but now I could see. You know, it was the old hymn writer, Fanny Crosby, that said this about his blindness. No or nothing bitter resides in me about being blind, because the first person I'm going to see when my sight is restored is Jesus. Let us have a faith that endures all of this. Let us see God clearly. If If you've never trusted in Christ today, put your faith in him. What better day on Palm Sunday to say, Jesus, I choose you. I want to follow you. I put my faith and my trust in you, which you've done on the cross and the empty tomb. And if you are struggling right now in any crisis in your life, like Bartimaeus, trust in Jesus. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. My friends, this promise is true, that you will never regret asking the Lord Jesus for mercy. For when you do so with a genuine and contrite heart, he will receive you and he will answer your prayers that are according to his will. And so to God be the glory for every crisis he helped us through in the past. To God be the glory for the strength he's giving us now. And to God be the glory for how he's going to take us through. May God bless you, and may you see God through your crisis. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. We want our faith and our trust to be in you. We want to see you. We want to depend on you through this crisis. We thank you, O God, that we could say, like these worshipers, the genuine ones at least, Hosanna, save us now. Not on our terms, God, but your terms. We thank you, O God, once again. And in humble expectation, we look forward to the miracles that you are going to do. We pray for your covering and your blessing. And we sow these prayers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Worthy of all our praises. Oh.
bless you and have a blessed day. God bless.
Well, we want to thank you once again for being with us and spending your Palm Sunday with Crossroads Church. Just some words of encouragement here. Keep looking and seeking after God, especially through all that is going on right now. There's no greater place for our focus to be. With that said, we want to encourage you that even after this service, if you'd like to connect with us, you could do so through some of the links that we've already shared with the connection card and the prayer card. Also, if you would like to contact me directly via email, you could do so with ray@crossroadsny.org. I would love to receive a note from you or just hear how you're doing. You can go ahead and do so. And also, we encourage you, if you haven't done so already, we also have our daily devotion that comes out every day, every morning, around 4:30 in the morning, right there in your inbox. It's also on the church app and on our social media. And this week in particular, we're going to be going through some of the Passion Week in our devotions, and so you don't want to miss that. And so may God bless you. May He keep all of us safe and healthy at this time, and we look forward to being with you again. Thank you.